When I was growing up, I went to a church. It was a very good church. It was a good church. I learned a lot about the Bible. I learned about God. I learned about God's love. I learned that God loved me unconditionally. And I knew that God was my Father. When I went to that church, I didn't hear a message about salvation. I just heard, God loves you, and you're going to go to heaven. So if you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven. And that served me for many, many years because I didn't know any better. I didn't realize that Jesus came not only to get me to heaven, but to get heaven inside of me. I felt like I was on my own. There were all these expectations of what it's like to live as a Christian, and I could never measure up. I could never get there. It wasn't in me. I didn't know how to love other people. Unless, of course, they were loving towards me, then it was easy. Like, oh, you love me. Oh, I love you too. But if somebody changed their disposition and they said something a little slighting towards me, well, I don't love you anymore. It was all conditional. It was up and down, up and down. And I didn't know how to remain constant. Because I knew God's love was constant. God wasn't up and down with me. He was the same all the time. And I didn't know how to be like that. I knew Jesus was that way. Because when I read about it, when I looked at his life in the Bible, I was told that's what I'm supposed to be like. But I couldn't get there. I tried. And I tried. And after many, many years, I stopped trying. It wasn't possible for me. And that's because I was doing it on my own. I tried. I tried. I tried. And I couldn't do it. But God is so gracious and so kind that because of his kindness, it led me to repentance. And I came to a point where I realized that I needed the Word of God to be on the inside of me. That when I spend time with God, when I learn about God, and I get it into my heart, then it changes me. And it's not enough to read about it, but whatever it was that I was reading, I started doing it. And then I did it, and I saw results, not just on the outside, but on the inside of me. All of those years that I was reading the Bible, that I was hearing sermons, God was putting the Word into the chambers of my heart. And then came the day when he breathed on them, and they came to life. They came to life. Jesus came to life for me. And I realized Jesus isn't an example that's unobtainable. But he would never have said, follow me, if it wasn't possible. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when the Word of God is inside of you, it comes out and it becomes life to the people around us. Amen. Well, this sermon today is in the garden, and it's called Full Circle. And it's full circle because if I don't know the beginning and I don't know the end, then the middle doesn't make sense. Have you ever had a set of encyclopedia? You know, you got A to C, D to F, G to, I don't know, S. But the last one is XYZ, right? So here we have this set of encyclopedias from A to Z. And on either side, you have bookends. And the bookends tend to look very similar. It's a set. Well, that's what I look at it like. This in the garden, the full circle, that's what I look at it like. So we have A to Z, and we have Genesis and Revelation. And God is the Alpha and the Omega. He knew the end from the beginning. So it's full circle. So we're going to look from Genesis to Revelation in the garden. Amen. So let's go ahead and look at Genesis, and we'll start with verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, he created them. So first of all, we find out we're created in the image of God. That's good. Now, let's continue on to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Start at 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Now go to chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Now drop down to verse 11. Adam said, "I'm afraid. I hid myself. I was afraid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of the tree that I commanded that you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Now down to 22. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the tree of life." So we are created in the image of God. We are created to be like Adam. He was the Son of God. Adam was walking perfectly before God. He was innocent. He was not tainted in any way. He walked in obedience. He walked in fellowship with God. He had control of that garden. He knew what the plants were. He named the animals. He had everything in a row. But there came that time when the serpent came and tempted Eve. So Adam wasn't as diligent as he thought he might be. And then we know that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, if we're created in the image and likeness of God, what is that image? The Bible says that God is love. It didn't say he's loving, it says he's love. God created Adam as an expression to give of his love. And then he said, "Okay, it's not good that man be alone." So here come the animals, and they weren't good enough either. So he finally made woman from Adam so that Adam had someone to love. We're created to love. We're not created to be loved. We're created to love. Because if we're created to be love, then we're cut off from that source of love. Remember, if we're looking at the people around us to determine if we're loving or not, then our day is going to go up and down. We're only going to be as strong as the weakness around us. But Adam fell from that image, and we were born into Adam. That's why we're cut off from the image of God. We're cut off from that. It's fallen image. It's no longer the way it was meant to be. Man became self-conscious and self-focused. If you look at C, when God said, "Did you eat of the tree?" What was Adam's response? Did he say yes? Did he say no? It was a yes or no question. Did you eat of the tree? What did he say? It was the woman you gave me, God. I would not have eaten of the tree if it hadn't been for the woman you gave me. So it's you, or it's her, but you gave me her. So, what was the first sign of the fall? Self-justification, self-defense, blame shifting, putting it off. And they hid from God. They were ashamed. They knew the image had fallen. Something happened. Wow. And they couldn't face God. They made the fig leaves and aprons to cover themselves. Who told you you were naked? I just know. And so shame, guilt, and condemnation come in. When we've disobeyed, that's what happens. And then to cover up, we blame shift and say, it's not me. It's that. It's this. I wouldn't be this way, God, if that person hadn't said this. I would not have responded this way if so-and-so didn't do it right. We blame shift. We've taken on that image of the fallen image of Adam. We were all born into it. For all of our lives, the world has been molding us, shaping us, pottering us to believe a lie, that we can function apart from God, that we have some self-esteem. We have these self-help courses and books everywhere to try to help us, prop us up, and to say, you're okay, you're okay. But we're not okay until we know the one who created us and we're restored back to that image. So we're in an identity crisis. We don't know. The world doesn't know who they are. The world doesn't know who they're created to be. And they're just trying to get by day by day, doing the best they can with what they have. And they don't know. And we didn't know. We didn't know until we met the one who is the perfect image of God. And that's Jesus. Jesus, the garden in Jesus. Jesus is the express image of God. He came like the Father is, and he lived the life that we were designed and created to live. He had perfect submission, perfect obedience, perfect communion with God. In everything he did it with grace and truth. He is the exact representation of the Father. He said, you want to know who the Father is? Look at me. Wow, that's pretty brave. And Jesus is the last Adam. The first Adam failed. But Jesus came and he succeeded. Satan tempted him for 40 days. And we think it was those three temptations. But no, for 40 days he was tempted over and over and over and over and over. And those are just three examples. But Jesus did not lose sight of who he was. I am a son. God is my Father. I am designed and created to love. I know the love of my Father. The Father and I are one. He dwells in me. I dwell in him. His word abides in me. I know who I am. And the invitation is to know who you are in Christ. He is the last Adam. He didn't come as Son of God with all the powers of God. He came under the Adamic covenant. He operated in this life just like Adam was to operate. He came as Son of Man. He humbled himself and he took off that robe of divine power and he took on flesh. He took on the form of flesh. He became sinful flesh, the image of sinful flesh, so that we could be the image of God restored back. Jesus is the last Adam. God sent his son not to the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved. We are sons and daughters. Jesus died on the cross, not because we're sinners. He died to get the sin off of us, to reveal our intrinsic value, because God never lost sight that we are his daughters and sons. He doesn't see us as sinners. He came to get that sin off, to reveal who you are, to reveal who we are. We are the daughters and sons of God, and he loves us. We are transformed back to the beginning as if we never sinned. That's what redemption is, to bring back to the beginning. So when Jesus died on the cross, his blood gave the forgiveness of sins, and we're restored back to Adam before the fall. The stripes on his back brought us back into the ability then to walk in perfect health. He cut a new covenant so that if we sin, we're not cast out again, but his blood forgives. We're forgiven. His blood is on the mercy seat. And here we are, fully restored back to being sons and daughters. We're designed to be loved. The law of sin and death has nothing over the law of the life. For the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has set us free from the law of sin and death. The wages of sin is death, but it's been abolished. Jesus took on death so that we could be alive in him. Everything that we were, Jesus became, so that we can become what Jesus is. And then there's the law of Genesis, where the seed produces after its own kind. I'm going to look at Genesis 1, verse 11 and 12. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And then Jesus, speaking of himself, said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit." So he knew that in order to bring us back, to redeem us back to that of Adam before the fall, he had to die. He took our sins, abolished them, and from then, now, God has many sons and many daughters. So Jesus, the corn of wheat, fell to the ground, and then we are born children of God. Because we were born into Adam, we had to be born again. We had to take off that old nature and put on the new. So we're not modifying the old model. We're a completely new creation. When we're born again, the old has gone, the new has come. So here we are, brand new creation. But we need to know that we're created for love. We need to know that God is our Father. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God breathed into this mold he made from the dust of the ground. He breathed into it, and it became a living soul called Adam. He breathed into it, and it came alive. Then in John 20, verse 21 and 22, Jesus, after his resurrection, came to the disciples, and he said that, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." And then he breathed on them. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So just like Adam received life by being breathed upon, in the same way, we were born again when the Holy Spirit was breathed into us. We became a new creation. We're not modifying the old. I'm not trying to become a son or a daughter. I am. Automatically, I am. I already am. I'm not trying to attain it. It's already finished. Jesus did the work. I'm born again. So we are renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him. If we're restored back to the heart of God, then we're right back at the beginning. God paid a tremendous price in his own son so that we could come back to being love. He loves you. God loves you. God considers you family. Have you ever had a family member that goes astray? Does that make that family member less of a family member? God loves, and he's patient. And when that happens, are we hurt by that person? Or are we hurting for that person? God is hurting every time someone forgets who they are and takes on the old nature. God grieves over that. But he continues his love and brings us back to repentance. So Christianity is a restoration back to the heart of love, from selfishness to thinking of others. It's not about me, myself, and I. It's about the image of God. So I was thinking of when I was asking somebody, do you think I've been growing in love? Have I been growing in love? And the person looked at me and I'm like, I don't think so. And I was like, and the thought came to my mind, that's discouraging. And the feeling inside went, and I stopped and I said, you know, that's not me. That's not me. That's not my thought. I reject that thought. I'm not discouraged. Why would I be discouraged? And I separated that. I said, no. And I put off that old man. I took that voice and said, that's not me. I have the mind of Christ. Christ doesn't think that way. God would never tell me that. That's a lie. I'm going to put on the truth. The truth is, I am growing in love because I desire it. And when I have faith that that's what's happening, and I apply myself and I do the things that the Bible says to do by grace, that is happening. God is molding me and shaping me into a woman that loves. So I just took that and went, yeah, okay, well, praise God, it's on the inside. It'll make its way on the outside. It's coming. So Jesus said, if any man come after me, deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. First thing he says is deny yourself. Why do we deny ourselves? Because we were never made for you. You're never made for you. I'm never made for me. I am made for the image of God. I am here to love. That is the mandate of the image of God upon me. I'm here to love. I'm made for the image of God. And the biggest problem in my life is me. It's not you. I might think it's you. And if I do think it's you, that's because it's all about me. So I can't have any excuse. You don't have to change for me to be okay. That's what I'm learning. And I keep telling myself whenever something happens or somebody says something and I'm like, I said, they don't have to change. It's my problem. It's my problem. Why would I be offended? Why would I feel rejected? Why would I feel any of those things? That's not the image of God. That's not me. So I take it off and I put on the new. I put on what is true. What is true? God loves me. I'm his daughter. And so if I felt discouraged at that particular point in time, I say, well, hey, God is my strength. God is changing me. God is molding me. The Holy Spirit inside of me is creating me, closer and closer to the image of God. And I start building myself up with truth. So you take off the old man and you put on the new. Now, most of the time, we don't recognize those voices because we've lived in the world so long, it's normal. But that's not what's normal in the kingdom. So we have to learn what is the voice of the enemy, what is the voice of God. So to take off the old man, you reject that and say, God, this is what you say about me, and now I put it on. And you go to God and talk to God. Give your heart to God and say, Lord, I thank you, you're changing me. There was a time when I would never even have blinked an eye at being angry over anything. But now you're working in me because now I don't want to be angry anymore. I recognize when that's happening and I don't like it. And I thank you, God, that you're sensitizing my heart. You're sensitizing me to where I can actually come to that place where I don't want it. And so I thank you, you're changing me on the inside of me. So that I can then be in a place to love the person who's not very lovable. So that I can take on the nature of God. That person can be up and down and up and down, and I don't have to hitch my wagon to it anymore. I can be constant because God's love is constant toward me. That's where we're all heading. And we think, oh, well, I have a lot to unlearn. The Bible says you can't unlearn that. You have to be renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm not unlearning something. I'm being transformed. I'm learning through experience with God how to handle things. And I say, God, you're my father. Please father me. I don't want to be off in left field. Keep me in the center of what your will is for me. And Holy Spirit, mentor me. Holy Spirit, teach me in the intricacies of my day, how can I look like Jesus? Teach me, Holy Spirit, transform me. And I put the word of God in me so he has something to work with. Put it in there. Act on it. Do it. Let it become who you are. And you will be surprised at the growth that will happen. Now, sometimes we think, well, I'm going to apply these principles so that I can get to that point. But if that's true, what about the time factor? How do you know? No, you're becoming. It's not like done. It's patience. The kingdom of God is like a seed. You put it in and it grows and it grows and it grows. And if you'd want to keep finding out and digging it up, is it working? Is it working? No, you trust and allow your life to blossom. The kingdom of God is within you. So we are to be conformed to the image of his son. We're not pottered by the world. We're pottered by God. We sang a song, right? The potter's hand. Mold me, shape me, use me, fill me, lead me, guide me. So we need to consciously allow God to potter us and not be pottered by the world anymore. And Holy Spirit will teach you and show you how that's happening. He'll say, no, don't do that. That's the way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And you're like, oh, I see the truth. That's a lie. And you move on. So, to be conformed to the image of his son. So if I am drawing near to God, God is drawing near to me. And that's being pressed and conformed. You ever had silly putty? If you have a little mold, you stick it in there, you got to press it in there so that it can look exactly like that mold that it just came out of. So you're pressed, you're conformed to the image of God. You draw near to God and God draws near to you, and you're talking and communing with your father as a son, as a daughter. You're in that place and you're going to be surprised, because the longer you do that and press in, the more you're going to look like him. the more other people are going to recognize him in your life. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So this is what I've got from that. You know how Moses asked God, you know, I want to see your face. And God said, well, you can't see my face and live, so I'll show you the backside of me. So you can't look at God face to face, because in that covenant, there would be death. Well, Jesus is the Word made flesh. And he dwelt among us, and we saw him face to face. In that day, they saw him. So if Jesus is the Word, and the Bible, the Old Covenant says, if you look at God, then you'll die. Isn't that what we want? We want to deny ourselves? We want to die to sin? We want to die to self? So as we look into the Word, we are looking into the face of God, and something has to die. The old way, the old man, is being put to death when you look into the face of God in the Scripture, the Word of God, Jesus, the Word made flesh. We're looking at him face to face, and we're dying to sin. And we are partakers of his divine nature. In 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And lust there doesn't mean like pornographic types of things. It means self-centered desire. So the promises are given to us that we might be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through selfish desire. So there again, there's that dying to self, die to the old man. These precious promises are designed to show us that we have everything necessary to look like our Father. The promises are there so that we can look like our Father, so that we can look like the Son, the last Adam, so that we can be like Jesus. The promises are there so that we can be alive and remain when Jesus returns, perfected in love. So we are partakers of his divine nature. And I just have a few things here. There's so many more, but the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the Word made flesh, but in us, it's flesh becoming the Word. We are the body of Christ. We are his embodiment. When we are going out into the world, it is Jesus in us that's affecting the people around us. You know, there's a man that was on the elevator. He was a Christian. And another man got on the elevator. And through a word of knowledge, the first man, the Christian, said, oh, you are having a pain in your right knee. Is that right? The guy goes, yeah. He says, you're a Muslim, aren't you? He says, yes. He said, well, I could not have known that unless the Holy Spirit told me, unless Jesus let me know. The guy goes, okay. So it's okay if I pray for your knee? He goes, yeah. So he prayed for his knee. And then the Christian said, it's getting hot, isn't it? The Muslim says, yeah, it is. And how's your knee? It's pretty good. It doesn't hurt anymore. Wow. And then the Christian said, you're not a practicing Muslim, are you? And he said, no, I'm not. And the Muslim said, I have a hard time believing what I've been taught all my life. And when I look at the Quran, I see Jesus. And I read about Jesus. And I like Jesus. So it's hard for me to practice being a Muslim when I like Jesus so much. And so the Christian said, well, Jesus has just healed you. And the man was so excited because now he knows that Jesus really is alive. It's not just in the book. So that Christian was actually Jesus in the flesh to that man standing right there. And he was recognized. Jesus was recognized. So we are the body of Christ. And when we talk to people, when we speak to people, when we are around them and our disposition is evident, they need to see Jesus in the flesh. And we are not given these precious promises for ourselves, but it's to demonstrate the nature of God, to demonstrate his image, which is love. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Then he turned around and said, "You are the light of the world." Wow. So we're designed to look like Jesus. The promises are here for us to demonstrate who he is. We are leaders in our sphere of influence. So if we're light, darkness has to flee. We are light in this world to our families and to our coworkers, to our, anybody that we see in the supermarket. We are light. And as he is, so are we in this world. So who he is in us is supposed to be revealed to the world. People see him in your eyes. People hear him when you speak. People see him in your deeds. They see him in your life. You are the epistles written on the hearts of men. When they see you, they see Jesus. And we are to be filled with the fullness of God. So to know the love of Christ, not to know the love of the brethren, but to know the love of Christ is to be filled with the fullness of God. That's our destiny. That's who we're created to be. That's our design, is to carry and bear the image of God, which is love. So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. As the Father sent me, so send I you. So Jesus has been multiplied. He was that seed that fell to the earth. And now God has reaping many sons and daughters. And Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. So we're also then to go out and destroy the works of the devil. Jesus gave us power and authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. So let's take a look then at Revelation 12, verse 9. In the Garden of Eden, Satan is described as a serpent. But in the book of Revelation, it says, that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So he had how many thousands of years to develop from a serpent into a great dragon? It's because men have been worshiping the devil for their lives for thousands of years. He's become so attuned to what are the buttons to push on people. If I do this, that person will respond this way. And he just plays around with God's creation. He plays around with the people that are created in the God's image. And he goes, yeah, they are created in God's image, but they're acting like me. They look like me. They talk like me. So he's thinking they're created in my image. But Jesus came to get that sin off of us and reveal who we really are. So every time we have a little temper tantrum, we get impatient and frustrated. And we're like, eh, like that. We're having a praise and worship session to the wrong God. We look like him. We talk like him. But that's when you have to recognize, through the grace of God, you go, that's not me. And you put off the old man and you put on the new that is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created you. Put on the new by combating lies with truth. What does God say about you? So we overcome through the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our own lives to the death. We conquer through the blood of the Lamb. We overcome the dragon through the finished work of Christ. He already paid that price. The victory is ours for the taking. The blood of the Lamb, victory, power, authority, dominion. His blood is shed. We have that forgiveness of sins. So we're not back, cast out. But through the blood of the Lamb, we are able then to walk and grow into God's image. The word of our testimony, the word of our testimony, the word of God in your heart needs to be so loud. It needs to be so clear. It needs to be bigger on the inside of you than that's going on the outside of you. So when the word of God inside of you is consuming lies, it's bringing you into alignment with God, then you will manifest Jesus in every situation, and his word will be louder than everything else, and your joy will be full. So we have to be careful not to let life define who we are, but we let the word of God define who we are and let it get louder, louder. The gospel is louder than the sin around us and the circumstances. And we love not our own lives. Again, you deny yourself. Deny yourself. If you love your own life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for the sake of the gospel, you will find it. So die to self. We have the blood of Jesus, the finished work. We have the word of God. It's greater on the inside of us than that which is on the outside of us. And we use the word to fight, to slash, to overcome that evil one. And we consecrate ourselves. We deny ourselves. We put off the old man and put on the new. And the saints reign 1,000 years with the devil bound in the pit. And then last of all, he's cast into the lake of fire. So the serpent that became a dragon will be no more. And look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 to 24. Remember, God sent Adam forth from the Garden of Eden, and he drove out the man, and he put cherubim and a flaming sword so that he couldn't come back to eat of the tree of life. He ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he was prevented from eating the tree of life because God is merciful and doesn't want us to live forever in a state of sin. Jesus paid the price to get us free so that we don't have to die. And so now in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So as we overcome the evil one in our lives and we become love, we have the right to eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise. So we come from the Garden of Eden, can't eat it, and now we're in the garden, the paradise, and we're welcome to eat it. And we have the right to eat of the tree of life in Revelation 22:14. So we've come from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And we need to realize that we are on this planet to reveal the image of God, to deny ourselves, put on the new, and be renewed in the image of him who created us, which is love, and eat of the tree of life at the end.